Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated October 20th, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and the Sleepiest. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, hello everybody, this is Lord Baldrith here alone again while the Sleepiest is still on vacation. So, hopefully everybody's doing great, having fun, and enjoying the game, enjoying the October. October's kind of a nice month. There's some festivities that happen in some parts of the world. And also for some areas of the world, I mean, it's getting a little cooler, which is nice too. So here we go. We've got Avatar's update number 250. Soda map now under official development. So greeting, fellow Avatars. Here's what we have for you in this week's edition of update of the Avatar. We have game development. The Soda is now Soda map is now under official development. We have some news announcements. We have the R-47 postmortem telethon on November 3rd, the R-46 postmortem missed questions, the Soda Con Austin 2017 recap, Nightmares of New Britannia Halloween contest extended, Cyber Monday crown bonus continues. We have West Weekend Flash Sale, Trees, Bushes, and Cacti. And we have an upcoming events calendar. And the community updates is the event Shooter Jennings Meet and Greet, Extra Life Schedule and Live Streamers Needed, November 4th, Mine Went Haunted House, Resources Players Helping Players, and Recommended Projects to Support Brightlocker Crowd Equity Campaign. So let's start out here with Soda Map, now under official development. From a forum post by Darkstarlong, greetings, Avatars. Our original plan for maps in Shroud of the Avatar was individual hand-drawn maps of various quality levels for each scene. These would be found, collected, quested after, etc. by players, and then could be used to navigate in the world. So now we managed to implement a few of them, but the scale of production involved in making them prevented us from staying abreast with the pace of hundreds of scenes we were creating. They also failed to account for scenes with player housing that would dynamically change, sometimes dramatically. Then along came the incredible tool, Soda Map, created by community member Jacob White, and contributed to by other community members. Using a Google Maps type functionality, this amazing third-party external application maps the entire world of Novia and allows POT owners to customize their town maps. We liked Soda Map so much that we officially integrated it into the game in Release 40 back in March of this year. And we quickly realized that this would be a fantastic solution to our problem of creating maps for every scene. Now, after testing it out in the game for a couple of releases, we've decided to approach Jacob about acquiring Soda Map so that we could make it fully integrated and optimized feature of the game. We are very excited to announce that we have now come to a purchase agreement for Soda Map with Jacob White. This means we can now proceed with a large list of changes that will improve the experience of using Soda Map. These will be broken up into two phases. We hope to have Phase 1 complete by the end of the year, and Phase 2 by launch. So Phase 1. Make what is there work better. Server hosting. We plan to move Soda Map to a faster server with a better internet connection. House data automation. Right now, house ownership data has to be entered by hand. We plan to automate this with the option to opt out. Map creation. Get missing maps created, outskirts, uncloned scenes from the last few months, etc. And community. Restart community submissions of maps and customization of maps for POTs. And now Phase 2, feature additions. Gameplay, quest locations, NPC objects, exit locations, stores and service locations, difficulty scene type. Social. Party members, friends, guildmates. Linux and offline support, optimization, examine the data and code structure, and execute optimizations. Let us know if you have any questions about acquiring Soda Map. Stay tuned for more information about how you will eventually be able to contribute to the project. More uploads to come soon. So very good stuff there coming up with SodaMap, and it's going to get even better. So a special thanks to Jacob White for creating that and bringing it into our game world. That is very awesome. So now we've got R47 Postmortem Telethon November 3. Greetings, Avatars. The next Postmortem Telethon for Release 47 is already fast approaching. New frosty, cool stretch goal items are ready to be achieved to celebrate the upcoming release, which is due to go live this October 26th. The following week after the release will be the telethon on November 3rd. Live stream schedule, Central Time Zone. Telethons are live streamed on Twitch and include answers to your gameplay questions, world building tours, prize giveaways, sales on items, and more. See what we have planned below beginning at 3 p.m. Central Time on November 3rd. So 3 p.m. we have introductions, 3:30 p.m. we have the post-mortem Q&A, 4:30 p.m. we have the world building tour, 5:30 p.m. we have post-mortem Q&A continues, and at 7 p.m. we have the end of the telethon. The schedule is subject to change. Check back here before the live stream begins, stretch goals frosty themed. Very cool. As a special bonus, we are offering funding rewards to any backer that pledges a minimum of $5 for 12 hours during the day of the telethon from 12 p.m. Central Time on November 3rd. Spending store credit on to make the $5 does not apply, and this is going up until 11:59 p.m. Central Time. Note, while the live stream ends at 7 p.m. Central Time, everyone will have until 11:59 p.m. Central Time to spend $5 to get the stretch goals. We will announce the final total on the following day. So we have at 10K a snowflake pattern cloak. At 25K we have a big silver fur hat. At 35K we have a winter pattern stained glass oil lamp, table lamp. It's a 3-pack. And at 50K we have ice snow and ice an ice staff and an ice bow. And at 65K, we have an ice elemental statue with icy effects. And at 80K, we have an ice dragon statue with icy effects. So again, some very awesome things to be had here. So good stuff there. Cheer on the devs. For every $2,500 donated, all developers on camera have to either dance, sing, or drink a shot of alcohol. Additionally, we will be spinning the Wheel of Fortune. The wheel will have 12 different categories of sales, plus the Lord British and Darkstar wild cards, where they get to choose any category. Each time a category comes up, it will go on sale about approximately 20% off for 1 hour. So the Wheel of Fortune flash sales include the Viking bundles, Obsidian bundles, Cobalt bundles, Elven bundles, Shogun bundles, Make a Difference, home decorations, outdoor decorations, property deeds, POT upgrades, homes and basements, pets and music, emotes and fireworks, wearables, dyes and patterns. And you can win these great prizes, frosty goodies, bank upgrades, kodos, store credits, relicsbyreal.com merchandise, and a bunch of items that we will announce on the live stream. We will be giving prizes away on an hourly basis, with many being given away multiple times. If you wish to win prizes during the event, be on Discord chat. We will be active on Twitch and YouTube chats as well, but they will not be our portal for the prize giveaways. Keep an eye on at Shroud of the Avatar for updates before, during, and after the live stream. See you on Twitch at 3 p.m. Central Time, November 3rd. So great stuff there, and as always, the telethons there are a great way to find out a lot more of what's going on, and a great way to get some stuff. You get lots of great extra gifts, I would call them, just for spending $5. A very simple way to get a lot of great stuff. Alright, next up we have the R46 Postmortem Missed Questions. We had almost 15 pages of questions left unanswered after the R46 Postmortem. With assistance from the team, we were able to get to these questions and posted them to the forums Thursday. And here are the questions we did not have time to get to during the R46 Postmortem. I tried my best to answer these with the help of the rest of the team. But some we just don't have details yet to provide. I probably won't have time to do any follow-ups on these. The community did a great job assisting us this telethon to make sure we didn't miss a single question. Please note, I have deleted a bunch of duplicated questions and also deleted any questions that we answered with the Q4 post or release of R46. Now, I'll just go through a couple here just for a little taste so you guys can read through the list here. This one's from Jerk. Hey, Chris, a great stat for the postmortem would be how many people had decay penalties under 10K and how many had over 10K. I'm curious how many times people's death decay couldn't be covered off by the 10K XP bonus. Chris says, I don't have an exact number logged in such a way I can correlate the data for this exact question. What I can confirm is that any player under level 70 would have their daily decay countered by the login bonus. Another question by Jerk. What is the largest amount of XP loss that anyone has incurred for a single death? Chris, the current record is just a hair over 1 million experience lost on a death. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, but the player that lost that much can make that back in 1 to 2 hours of play. Next question by Disciple of Web. Does training field dressing include chance to get a carcass, wolf, bear, stag? No, it just increases the success chance. Disciple of Web again asks, in Twin Foothills, I have had an obsidian stag drop a stag carcass instead of an obsidian carcass. I think there is an open bug report for this and obsidian wolves, ETA and a fix for these. This is not a bug. They sometimes drop regular carcasses. Okay, and Paladin Michael has asked, what about the pick locks skill? Can we expect an icon for it and maybe more? No ETA on making this skill function. And another question here by Amethyst25. I vaguely remember that roses would be used in dye recipes. Is that still the plan? Is there still an ETA when this will take effect? Yes, that is still in the plan. No ETA. And another question here by Bioxide. With one mine that everyone feels they have got to go to, any chance that you can split up the silver and gold in the Elysium mines, silver and gold in some same mine equals overpowered? We have a plan. Stay tuned. Okay, so keep watching for that. All right, and Bioxide again says, I know skill progression involves multiple trees. Is there any concern it's too easy to take lots of skills to 80 after only a month or two of play? Okay, Chris answers this one. Not a concern, but rather the intended design. We are a classless game, but we still want players to be able to play multiple roles if they choose. So, the intended design is that we make it easy for players to become pretty good at many things, and then we just limit their play options by having a finite of easy, accessible options they can use in combat. In UO, they limit how many skills you can learn. In games like WoW, they limit skills through strictly defined classes. In SOTA, we let players learn as many skills as they want, and then limit them through a finite number of things players can know at any given time. This is why we have a finite number of combat buttons, and also why there's a significant cost to swapping bars in combat. This allows us to let the players build whatever kind of build they choose to, confine their power. And that's something I'd always thought about myself. You can learn almost anything, or really you could learn anything, subject to decay and subject to your bar. So obviously that is a great design in the ways of limitations. Some people do have an issue with the decay, though, which is quite punishing at times. And it just depends, you know, other people don't die, so they don't get as much punishment. So it just depends on how you play and things that happen. So very good questions there and answers going on, and that's just a sampler. So you can read through the rest of them there on the forum post there for the missed questions. All right, so next up we have SotaCon Austin 2017 recap. The first annual SotaCon Austin was an incredible success. We had multiple days of panels, lunches, dinners, dances, plays, and a studio tour, prize giveaways, and much more. The SotaCon community team also announced to us that they met the goal to give money back to the project, with over $900 going to Horlarium after all the expenses of the event were paid. Here are a few pictures and videos of the great time we had hanging out with the community. And there's some great pictures here you can look through, various community members and the staff. So it looks like they had a great time Little dress-up going on there. Very cool indeed. That's very good stuff. It looks like they did a play. That would have been really cool to see that, so that's good stuff. All right, more photos and videos to come soon. Visit the community forum of additional photos from community members who attended the event. Keep watch in the forums for details of the next SodaCon 2018 in the coming months. Okay, Nightmares of New Britannia Halloween contest is extended. So the Halloween contest update, we are extending the submission deadline to October 31st to add the jack-o'-lantern fix on October 26th. So apparently there must be an issue with the jack-o'-lanterns. So spooky content abounds in New Britannia this Halloween season, some of old, some of new. Here's your chance to show it off to the rest of the community in your own unique style. This month is a two-part challenge of decorating a home or property in a spooky theme, or wearing a themed costume. You can submit an entry for both segments, though you are only eligible to win in one of them. As we get the entries, we will announce on social media the latest entries in a Facebook gallery. You will also be able to view the entries as they are posted in the forums. Submit your entry in a single post reply to this forum thread, and there's a link here. The submission cutoff has been extended a week to October the 31st. So it looks like next week we may know something more. All right, good stuff there. All right, Cyber Monday Crown Bonus continues. Tis our favorite time of year, the holiday season. It is that special time of year when you purchase gifts for the ones you love, including yourself. And it's the special time where we release all sorts of fun holiday goodies for Halloween, fall, and winter. To celebrate, we are rewarding all purchases of $15 or more with a bonus of gold crowns. Here's the exact chart, the exact award chart. Note the dollar amounts between tiers will be awarded the gold crown amount of the tier below it. Example, spending $100 will get you 10 gold crowns. It's kind of like they've done an estimation there, and there's probably a formula too. So anywhere, spending $15 will get you 2 crowns, spending $665 will get you 100. And if you spend $6,665, you can get 1,000 gold crowns. So the more you spend, the more you get. So good stuff there. The above will be awarded for all new purchases, including bundles, bundle upgrades, add-on items, player-owned town upgrades, and make-a-difference items between 10:30 a.m. September 28th and midnight Central Standard Time, November the 27th, 2017. And this will not count for purchases made with store credit. So always keep that in mind. Your store credits, as great as they may be, they don't get you any bonuses. Because technically they are already a bonus. Well, kind of. Depends on how you got them. Sometimes you buy store credit, other times it comes to you. At least in the past it used to. All right, and note the crown bonus is calculated every day for all purchases within the previous 24 hours and then added to your account. And there's an original post here. There's a link to another post that tells you probably more about it. So good stuff there. And next up, we have a weekend flash sale. Trees, bushes, and cacti. 20% off all kind of stuff relating to trees, bushes, and cacti. In honor of the Reaper that was added to the game on release 46, we are putting trees, bushes, and cacti on sale this weekend. Get a look at the lineup below. Additional related items can also be found in the add-on store. So here's a whole slew of items, bushes, trees, all the plant life that you could put around your house and your yard and your town. And just go through that if you're looking for any of those kind of things. This is the time to buy it. Make your place beautiful, make it very gardeny and jungly if you want to, and it should be fun. All right, next up, we have the upcoming events calendar. October 4th through 25th is the current free trial, still going on for a few more days. October 26th, we have release 47. November 1st through the 15th, we have the next free trial. November 3rd, we have the R47 Postmortem Telethon. November 4th, we have the Extra Life 24-hour event. And on November 16th, we have release 48, and December 14th, we have release 49. Visit the official community calendar to see the great lineup of activities our amazing community has planned for this weekend, and be sure to check out this month's release events thread in the Soda Forums for additional events. All right, Shooter Jennings meet and greet on Saturday, October 21st, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. So here we go. Think Pink, 24 Hours, Steamathon. Avatars Take the Fight to Breast Cancer. Special guest is Shooter Jennings. Remember, that is the son of Waylon Jennings, if you know your country or know of him. And I was kind of a Dukes of Hazzard fan myself, so I know Waylon Jennings quite well. So during the Airy Fund, Think Pink 24-Hour Streamathon event this weekend, Shooter Jennings will be making a special guest appearance in the game. Visit the event forums for details of the Streamathon activities kicking off through this weekend. So very fun. It'll be great to meet Shooter Jennings. He has been in game before, back on another event we had a while back, and always fun and great stuff. I remember the awesome pictures, the wall arts that we got from that event. Those were great, off of his album cover. So the good times there. Anyway, always good and cool to see Shooter Jennings again, and kind of nice if he put some more songs in there for us too. Good stuff there. All right, next up we have the Extra Life schedule and live streamers needed November 4th. Virtue versus Chaos charity stream event. So here we go, from the Airy Fund. This year, we're going to run an Extra Life team event to see who can raise the most support for the Children's Miracle Hospital Network. If you haven't heard about Extra Life, I recommend you visit their site to learn more about Game Day, which is on November 4th, 2017. And while you're there, sign up to join one of our SOTA teams. For 24 hours, we'll be raising funds for the CMHN while doing what we love to do, playing the game. Oh, and it's free to join. The Airy Fund and its board of directors have been on an amazing mission to help raise awareness and encourage support for many worldwide charities and charities that help to raise funds for causes around a variety of real-life issues. The Airy Fund board paid a visit to Portlarium just this past week during SotaCon. And here they are with some of our team. So here's a picture of some of the people over there at the Airy Fund. So very nice, very cool to see them. And it was probably awesome to talk to them as well. And thanks, Airy Fund, for all the great work you do in the community. So there is a link here on this also about more information on signing up for that and all those things. So be sure and check the updates page if you're looking for a link. All right, so next up we have Minewent Haunted House. Looks like we have an event here. This weekend's spotlight, this is a spotlight, I guess. They count it as a spotlight. So this weekend's spotlight takes us to the player-owned town of Minewent and to the Minewent Haunted House. Here's the town's story as told by community manager, Mr. Barrett. In my latest travels, amidst the towns and the peoples of New Britannia, chance would have it that my path led to Minewent. Surely this was an opportune time for me to resupply before braving the dangers of Nightshade Pass. But as misfortune would have it, my attempt at respite inadvertently exposed me to an even greater danger. At first glance, Minewent was an inviting town, but upon closer inspection, my realizations horrified me. One might think me mad for saying this, but the town of Minewent has a dark history, and deep within its borders lies a house so haunted that I barely escaped alive to tell you this tale. Ah, outlanders, so take caution upon your travels to Minewent, and head and heed my words. Make resupply in Etten Glen, perhaps Brittany, for the horrors you shall face in Minewent are not worth the baubles and trinkets you might procure, and likely anything you might acquire from this forsaken town is cursed by the depraved spirits still lingering within. And to further dissuade you, friends, I shall share with you a story so tragic that perhaps it will overwhelm your curiosity and thankfully allow for good common sense to take a hold. Read on only if ye dare, adventurers, for this wicked tale is one of great sorrow. The Great Siege of Minewent. A long time ago, through evolutionary events, the Brittany cities amassed great wealth. However, the great wealth also created much desire and greed amongst several races, most notably the Elven, Kobold, and Leeches. Battle plans were forming. The northeastern Elves wanted the lands of Minewent for their beauty. The Kobolds wished to extend their northwest trade routes to a place closer to Brittany, such as mine went. The Southern Liches, they wanted to convert everything to evil because Brittany was a threat to them. The greed was so strong, and the three races separately formulated plans to attack the suburbs of Brittany at the same time. A fierce battle ensued on the outskirts of Minewent between the elves, kobolds, and liches. The elves lost because they were from a foreign land called the Hidden Vale and didn't establish a proper supply route. To stage a war and win, one must provide total commitment and receive a steady supply of soldiers. The kobolds lost by foolishly launching simultaneous attacks upon all cities surrounding Brittany, spreading their forces too thin. The liches were smarter. They stockpiled enough resources to carry out a proper siege, and the humans living in Minewent only maintained a 30-day supply of food based upon previous needs. In total darkness, the liches surrounded the town and cut off all supply routes to and from. Then the liches waited. After 30 days, the food supply ran out, albeit the humans then scavenged for food. There was little to be found, and starvation overtook them. As you may know, it takes about 26 days of starvation before the human resorts to cannibalism. Around day 56, the cannibalism ensued. One killing another was justified by the residents. If a local resident had a foot injury, he was slaughtered in the butcher room, a new addition in the city center. If another was considered too old or unproductive, they were also sent to the butcher room for processing. If someone tried to steal food, they were hanged in the gallows or thrown into the city prison to serve on death row. Rows of dead bodies were created during this sickening and multi-layered process. Meanwhile, King Timmy, the 8-year-old leader of the town, sought an escape route. King Timmy's father, Anton, as you may know, was a great soldier who'd won many battles and claimed many lands. Upon King Anton's death, Timmy was declared the king. This great siege began after Timmy was crowned. In desperation, the townsfolk believed escape through an old well was possible. When each man was measured, King Timmy was the smallest. Therefore, the townsfolk thought he was the most able to squeeze through or by any obstacle inside the well. So Timmy was lowered and his fate was sealed. Primitive wells such as the one in this story were built to provide a supply of water and be an easy way to remove fecal waste from the property. When someone had to go to the bathroom, the waste was just sent down the well. When someone wanted to drink the water, a bucket was sent down the well for filling. When it was full, it was sent to the local alchemist for purification. Purification was the process of converting water tainted by bodily waste into clean water. As King Timmy was sent down the well, he tried swimming through it in hopes of escape. Unfortunately, King Timmy had drowned. The remaining survivors hid within the master bedroom of the house for the remainder of the siege. By day 69, all of the residents had died from either cannibalism, sacrifice, or suicide. It was a massacre. When something is so putrid, so vile, so evil, word gets around, and it gets noticed. Well, word of this massacre had spread to Brittany, so Brittany sent reinforcements. By then, the liches had already moved into the town and began to entrench themselves. However, realizing their days were numbered, the liches found a local alchemist to concoct a potion of mind control to bend the minds of those around them. Discovery of the right combination of ingredients provided far too stressful for the alchemist, rendering him insane. The Brittany reinforcements arrived and vanquished the liches. After the war ended, the town was renamed Minewent, a fitting name which provides a sad reminder of the Great Calamity, a name which means graveyard in Welsh. And graveyard it is, for many are buried here, and their spirits still haunt this land, grasping jealously at the souls of the living. All right. Very, very dark story there. Travel instructions. The Minewent Haunted House is located in the player-owned town of Minewent at the city lot owned by Vooch. As you enter Minewent, turn around and head east down the path until you see the haunted house on the left island. For the best experience, private tours are available by contacting Vooch or Twilight Tempest in-game. at Vooch and at Night Tempest in the forums. They will be more than happy to guide you. Audio instructions. The Mine Went Haunted House features a cleverly synced audio stream accompaniment to your guided tour, which greatly enhances your experience. So be sure to bring a portable ether vibration amplifier or borrow one from a friend. Then use your portable ether vibration amplifier and add the following radio stations to the list in your device's interface window. In the station name field, type Haunted House Tour. In the URL field, type http://minewent.com/haunted-tour. So that would make for a very fun experience. There you get some sound effects. Very nice touch there. More about MindWent. Imagine an in-game home or quest that talks to you. Now, after 9 months of development, you may experience one. Visit the first automated audio home tour in Shroud of the Avatar. Guests rave about MindWent Haunted House for its groundbreaking story-driven audio accompaniment synced perfectly with your guided tour. During the rest of October, Vooch and Twilight Tempest will be available to give you a guided tour through the MindWent Haunted House, so be sure to add them to your friends' list. Simply whisper them in-game and ask for a tour. Tours begin 49 minutes into every hour to coincide with the setting of the sun. As it gets darker, be prepared to be scared. While you can go it alone, it is highly recommended to go it with a guide or someone who's already been on the tour. The prompts and cues within the streamed audio accompaniment progress quickly, so without a guide, you might miss a turn and become lost. Once derailed from the tour's route, described fully by your audio, your experience may be negatively impacted. So seek out a guide, Outlanders, for this tour is far too dangerous to partake alone. There are so many towns and historical landmarks to explore through New Britannia. If you're interested in sharing your tales of adventure, message Community Manager Barrick, and he can spotlight your POT. And that is very, very awesome. Nice haunted house going on there, so definitely have to take a look at that. So check out the updates page to find out more on the link side. All right. Resources. Players helping players. The official SOTA New Player Welcome Forum and the Player Created Resources Forum have the best player created resources for Shroud of the Avatar, whether it's a player written guide, a video walkthrough, or a wiki type website. Visit the official community resources page for a complete list of all things community. And now, project to support the Bright Locker crowdfunding campaign. BrightLocker is a revolutionary platform that enables gamers to connect with their favorite developers and gain exclusive access and interaction as they make upcoming games. Gamers receive exclusive content such as unique in-game items, physical rewards, and more, whilst also enjoying revolutionary and unique studio interaction. This interaction comes in all varieties, from forum chats with developers to live streams of games while they're being made. So check out BrightLocker. See more. And last but not least, we have the backer shipping addresses. In preparation for shipping backers physical pledge rewards around the game's launch period on your account page, please enter your shipping address, log into the SOTA website, select account in the top right corner, then select edit profile located in the top left corner beneath your avatar image. A reminder to be sure that support@portalarium.com is unblocked from your email account. And that, my friends, is the news of the week. Very, very good. Another awesome news week. And a little more to talk about, so a little bit longer than last week, but nevertheless, still pretty short without the banter and the fun of Sleepyest with us. So we will hope he's back next week or the week after. I'm not 100% on the details of his trip, because I haven't been in contact with him since he left. So just so you know, bear with me as I try to cover the news. So ending off here, so we get back into the game, the awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. This is Lord Baldrith with Echoes from the Caverns.